We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Willie B is in the house on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Will Palachik.
Ball, if you will. We'll get you obviously a little bit of updates on that. Also, get you ready for the college football playoff, which kicks off a week from today. Five NBA games on the slate. Currently, Miami is beaten out New Orleans 83-73, a 10-point lead for Miami. They've led almost wire to wire. Also, Warriors, Bucks later on today, Nets, Celtics, Mavs, Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets also. And also Georgia, of course, coming up a week from today. They have their Peach Bowl meeting with Cincinnati. We'll do a little bit on that and what's happening coming up in about 20 minutes' time. And again, of course, your phone calls, texts, tweets, and everything all across the next 2 hours that we spend together. I hope you had a good Christmas. I did. We got up early knowing that we had to do the show today and did a lot of present exchange, some Zoom with the parents. First time for me that either of my parents haven't been able to see one or both of me and my sister. So I know this particular year is difficult for them because of COVID-19. They're a little bit older. I'm not trying to out their ages or out mine, but it's a situation where just wasn't going to work. First time my girlfriend hasn't been home for Christmas either. So it's a different year for all of us, and hope that all the technological advances that we've discovered here in 2020 at least allow you to experience some bit of family and normalcy by not only connecting with them, but also others who are a part of your family circle. If you are going out and still doing the party hop thing today, do so safely. Stay masked up. You know, I realize there are a lot of divergent views when it comes to how serious this virus is and everything like that. We are just so close to the end, guys, when it comes to getting the vaccine. Like, don't take chances when we're this late in the game. We'll get the vaccine and we'll hopefully get back onto our lives, get to a point where we can have fans back inside buildings. I know the Hawks will have fans coming up here on Martin Luther King Day. Hopefully we'll have some baseball fans inside Truist Park by the end of the year, and also a full Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a brand new head coach and GM to kick off the 2021 season. That's where I kind of want to start today, because we've had a lot of chit-chat over the course of the last couple of days, at least on Dukes and Bell, about what the future of this organization holds. And a lot of the bluster around the Falcons seems to be centered around Rick Smith. And I went back and looked at the numbers from Smith when he was with the Texans. I'm not sure. And the thing you have to wonder and realize is that there were a couple of lean years there. There weren't exactly a lot of what I would call fun times with regards to making sure that the Texans didn't necessarily have the ability to get to the postseason. And then when they got to the postseason, they kind of fell flat on their face. They would always kind of go up against a weak team in the wild card and then go up against the Patriots in the divisional round. And a couple of years in a row, they lost to New England. And for some reason, Houston fans, when I was there, always graded Rick Smith on more of a steep curve than necessarily a steady one. They did not give him credit for just getting to the playoffs, maybe because they're tougher on their fans than most are. I don't know, because they haven't had football for so long. They don't know how to measure success. It is a bit of a weird market, I will say that. But in coming here, I do feel like there are a lot of things that Smith could do that can get this team back to prominence. He is not a stranger to bold moves. Think about getting Deshaun Watson in the draft that changed and transformed that franchise. And also, when you factor in, I think the criticism that goes against that franchise, a lot of it now is aligned to ownership and aligned to Bill O'Brien. Now, there were a lot of people who thought that Rick Smith acted in concert with Bob McNair, but we're finding out now in the aftermath of Bill O'Brien's firing. Remember, he was fired right before Dan Quinn was. It seems that a lot of the ills of that franchise were more tied to O'Brien, and they were mistied to Rick Smith. And even when he left the organization, he didn't necessarily do so because of poor performance. He had some health issues. He was battling cancer and basically wasn't asked back after it. It's very similar to a situation that happened in New York with Sandy Alderson when he was the GM there, and they basically had him take a leave of absence because of cancer. He was not invited back, which, again, for organizations, that's a pretty crappy thing to do. We both can agree. Like, those things, those are reasons why organizations are dysfunctional, because when you tell a guy he has to go off for a leave of absence and then don't invite him back after that when it comes to a deal with involving a potentially terminal disease, that's a bad way to go. But again, that's where dysfunction reigns. And I think that tells you more about the Texans than it does about Rick Smith. And so I'm more and more open to that venue and that avenue when it comes to the Falcons than I would be previously. I still, though, wouldn't mind seeing somebody who was taking an ascent to the position. Someone like a Champ Kelly, a Brad Holmes, maybe even a Terry Fontenot. I know people who are staunch Falcons fans don't want us taking anything that has even touched the city of New Orleans, let alone been a big part of that Saints franchise and a part of that success for many years.
Which one?
But I do feel like there is a little bit of a, if you can't beat them, join them thing when it comes to that franchise. And, of course, I feel like they could do a lot worse than Terry Fontenot. The thing that I don't want, and I feel like this is something that all Falcon fans have to realize, is that I don't want somebody who's coming in here who you really don't know. I feel like right now the 7 or 8 guys that have been out there in the basically in the ether, the people whose names we know of, that have been spoken by the franchise's official website and other published reports, I feel like the talent crop is going to come from that group of guys. And, you know, there are varying instances and degrees of how you can possibly talk to people. There was something actually posted and decreed by the NFL yesterday that came down that basically said teams can now, when it comes to head coaching vacancies, they actually are able and allowed, because of the new restrictions on travel, you are allowed to Zoom with a potential head coaching candidate. You used to have to wait until the end of that team's season. If a team got eliminated from the playoffs, that usually signaled the beginning of those things when it came to a potential candidate. And so one of the things that was always thought of during this offseason is that if the number one candidate out there, Eric Bieniemy, and the Kansas City Chiefs go to the postseason, well, that's obviously going to be a long time before you can actually get a head coach put in place. And so that might put other teams in a holding pattern unless somebody found somebody they really actually liked and they could not feel like they were wanting to wait another step longer. They wanted to make sure they wanted to get their guy, even if it wasn't Eric Bieniemy. It'll be a first-time opportunity for Bieniemy to see the Falcons offense up close, at least in this vantage point, and I'm wondering how much of that factors into what the Falcons do today. Are the Falcons auditioning for their next potential head coach? Now, I'm going to say this about Eric Bieniemy, and I want you to hear me very clearly. I was advocating for this guy to get the head coaching position at any opening last year. I felt like the opening in New York met him with a lot of optimism. I felt like Dallas would have been a good fit for him. Basically, any place that had a young quarterback to build around, I thought, bring Eric Bieniemy in there, and that's something that makes that franchise instantly better. Now, we heard a lot of negative things said about Bieniemy when it comes to the interview process. He didn't interview well last year, according to teams. I don't know how much that's true or not. I'm willing to sit here and believe it's not, because I do feel like if Andy Reid likes him, if Patrick Mahomes likes him, if they have success with him running the show, how bad could he possibly be? And it kind of goes back a little bit to our discussion yesterday when it comes to preferential treatment in sports. And I'll talk about this a little bit when I'm on with you tomorrow in the noon hour. But I feel like when you win, winning, you can let a lot of stuff go. And so if Eric Bieniemy is a tough person to work with, not somebody who interviews well, guess what? You'll take the Lombardi Trophy gladly if that's the guy who brings you there. Now, if it's something like what we were talking about over the course of the last couple of days with James Harden, somebody who's a headache and doesn't give you results on the floor, then I understand why you have some reticence to bringing that person into your franchise. But I don't believe that is something when it comes to Bieniemy. I feel like a lot of people in the league were ticked off that he did not get a job last offseason. There's a lot of momentum for a lot of these openings when it comes to him. Could there be an opening for him in Houston? How much power will he get? And also, I do want to dispel something real quick, because we talked about this earlier in the week with Andrew Brandt on Dukes and Bell, and he seemed very ardent in thinking that all this talk about Rich McKay being a detriment to this position is just what I would call negative recruiting by teams who have openings. They want to try and make Rich McKay out to be this boogeyman that's going to sit here and suck out all the power that comes inside the organization. When in reality, and talking to him this past week and other previous discussions we've had with him, he has no desire to wield any power over a general manager or a head coach in this organization. So because of that, I feel a lot better about the environment that a next GM or head coach walks into with this Falcons organization, at least from a structure standpoint. The roster, not exactly as enthralled with as everybody else is. I do feel like part of the reason we've had issues this year is because a lot of the talent on this roster has been completely overstated and overrated. And because of that, that's more of an indictment on Thomas Dimitroff than it is on anybody in the coaching staff. Yes, there were issues with play calling, issues with game management this year when Raheem Morris took over for Dan Quinn. We'll get into those a little bit later on in the program. Love to hear from you. 404-741-0929. Willie P is here with you on a Christmas day. We'll get into everything else that's happening, including your Atlanta Hawks, who, I tell you what, watching them on Wednesday night was something to behold. Was it better than you expected? And does this give you a different outlook on the season? Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Merry Christmas to you from Radio.com. In the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Happy, 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 happy day for you. Merry Christmas to you. It's funny listening to Randy. The only thing that I think about when I hear Randy on Christmas is I'm wondering how bad Santa was to him. And by how bad, I mean how much did Santa give him to have to assemble on this Christmas day? That's the one thing I think about, because if you know one thing about Randy, the three worst words that he or basically anybody who's a father or mother can hear on Christmas Day is some assembly required. So thank goodness none of that came with my gifts. Everything I got here was clothes, lots of it sports-oriented, Atlanta stuff. One thing that's not Atlanta-related that is very, very cool that I'm actually wearing right now, my girlfriend who went to Indiana. The one thing I've always said I loved about Indiana is those candy stripe pants they used to wear, the breakaway pants. They still do, actually, with the warm-up pants. Yeah, those are definitely what I'm wearing right now. So that's pretty damn cool. I think those are really cool. She got me a couple of other things, some hoodies and some really cool shirts as well. And an awesome little scavenger hunt that we're going to try and complete here, a little walking tour scavenger hunt around the city of Atlanta. That's going to be very, very fun. I got her an awesome looking eyeball necklace too, which is pretty cool. It's like it's very, very chic now, the evil eye. Basically, since she's an eye doctor, that helps for her as well. And some other stuff, Indiana shirt. I got her a very nice Yeti that's customized, and also a real cool Coach purse, because, gentlemen, your lady loves the designer handbags,
Always, always, always hit either the Coach outlet or one of those other handbag outlets on Black Friday, because let me tell you, I got a very, very nice, nice deal. So I'll put that in your ear as well. And of course, as we always know, diamonds are woman's best friend, as we always know. 404-741-0929. Willie P is in the building. Also on Twitter, at Willie P Style, where Alan Newsom hits me up. We were talking earlier about Eric Bieniemy's coaching possible prospects. And the point that he brings up is a valid one. How much is the success of the Chiefs tied to Andy Reid and not Eric Bieniemy? Of course, when we hired Dan Quinn, we thought we were getting the Legion of Boom, but in reality, that was more Pete Carroll's formula than it was DC's formula, and again, or DQ's formula, I should say. You can say what you want about Dan Quinn as a head coach. I'm not going to sit here and stand up for him. But we were talking earlier this week, we were talking more about the GM position than we were the head coach position, because I feel like the GM position is where you need to really hit now. Like, that's the more important position. So I'm almost wondering if when we are writing the rise and fall of the Atlanta Falcons epitaph, if you will, on the Quinn Dimitroff era, I feel like if we're assigning blame, I'm giving 65% at the foot of Thomas. Now, Dan is an actual in-game coach and tactician. I have my doubts in. So I'm not going to sit here and completely give him a pass. But while we've done very, very good work when it comes to getting guys in the opening round the last couple of years, thinking, of course, about A.J. Terrell last year, Chris Lindstrom the year before, and Caleb McGarry as well, even though I feel like those two are only good when they're actually playing on the same field together, it's the misses in the mid to later rounds. You had a couple of diamonds in the rough. Grady, of course, is one of those big, big wins for you. But inability to get guys who are starters in the draft, I feel like, is part of the main reason why we've been unable to build up. When you have guys who are high-dollar dudes on your team, like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are, that means that puts a heck of a lot of pressure on your draft room. And if you miss in the draft room, you don't have success as an NFL franchise. 404-741-0929. Willie P is in the building. Let's get you in to what else is happening across the Atlanta sports scene with What's Happening.
Peter,
what's
happening?
Headlines brought to you by the fine folks at Domino's and the Cheeseburger and Taco Pizza. Not cheeseburger and tacos together. The Cheeseburger Pizza and the Taco Pizza from Domino's. All those specialty pizzas are part of the Domino's.com online deals for delivery and curbside pickup. Find them at Domino's.com and get your specialty pizzas today. Of course, great thing about the Cheeseburger Pizza and the Taco Pizza, you can get the cheeseburger and taco taste, and it's not soggy like you would if you'd be getting it from a takeout restaurant elsewhere. Comes to you in a great box and also comes to you socially distant and safe. Domino's online at Domino's.com. Falcons and the defending champion Chiefs on Sunday in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium. We are done, by the way, playing at the Benz. So two more road games still to go. Matt Ryan, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, talking about the performance Raheem Morris has had as the head coach.
I think Raheem's done a great job. I really have. I think it's, you know, it's a really difficult position to be put in. He did it his way, for sure, and I think guys appreciate that. He is true to who he is every day. He's very upfront with the guys. He's very clear with his messaging. He's very clear about what he expects from us. And I think guys have responded well to that. I really do think Raheem's going to be a really good head coach in this league. Whether it's here or somewhere else in the future, I think.
Most important thing that I heard all week was in our conversation with Rich McKay on Dukes and Bell earlier this week on 92.9 The Game, the effect that Matt and Julio have on the incoming GM and head coach, and how those two gentlemen or ladies will have to have a plan for each, meaning that you either have to have a plan with those two moving forward in the organization, or only one of them moving forward in the organization, or neither of them. I feel like you have to present a front that either gives you a clear vision forward with those two, or with some other way that this franchise can turn around from its losing ways to its winning ones. You'll hear a snippet from our conversation with Rich coming up at 2 o'clock in the 3 o'clock Falcons report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Georgia and Cincinnati, 1 week from today, meet in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. Kirby Smart is thankful to get one more game in. There will not be a full deck for Georgia. A couple of opt-outs, which include Monty Rice, DJ Daniels, some others on defense. Also, Trey McKitty, tight end, will opt out as well. Still not knowing about whether or not Aziz Ojulari is also going to play either. And the first thing you think about when it comes to these bowl games is which Georgia team is going to show up. Is it going to be a motivated group that played last year against Baylor in their bowl game, or the group that a couple of years ago took one on the chin? Here's Kirby Smart talking about the differences in motivation between the last couple of teams that have played in non-playoff bowls.
It was so important to so many in terms of the Baylor Sugar Bowl and the way the kids approached it. And then, you know, for the Texas Sugar Bowl, it wasn't that way. And everybody didn't approach the game the same way. And I think we learned a valuable lesson as a staff that it's not necessarily who you go play with, but what their mindset is when you go play a game in a bowl game. And the fact that we've been, you know, kind of out of it for a while in terms of not being in the SEC championship, that's new territory for us.
Cincinnati's a live dog. Let's not kid around here. Team out of the American Athletic Conference, team that felt like it deserved a spot in the college football playoff. Luke Fickell is, I feel like, one of the better group of five coaches out there. Somebody who does have experience at the Power Five level as an interim head coach at Ohio State. Of course, he was there for that year in between Tressel and Urban. So it does give you something as far as whether or not you have the ability to go up against this team that is certainly coming in very, very ticked off. I'm wondering how ticked off Georgia is. The fact that they, in the middle of the season, had so many injuries that hampered them, especially against Florida, and that they finished very, very well. But because of that mid-season somewhat slump and saunter, you did not get yourself into the college football playoff picture. Again, week from today, they play here in Atlanta. There is an NFL game on today, Vikings and Saints. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with the pregame coverage beginning at 4 o'clock once we're done here on 92.9. Drew Brees played his first game back from injured ribs. Of course, Taysom Hill was part of the New Orleans Saints offense before that. Here's Drew Brees talking about how he felt after Sunday.
I feel pretty good, all things considered. You know, obviously day after a game, soreness and kind of the normal stuff. As far as our performance yesterday, obviously a lot more to be desired. You know, felt like there was a lot of completions that we left out there, you know, opportunities to keep drives going and, you know, possess the ball and try to get points. As I look at, you know, some of the key statistics from that game, obviously the time of possession was pretty lopsided, you know, so opportunities for us to possess the ball, you know, wear their defense down a little bit, go down, get points, and obviously keep their offense off the field, I think would have been helpful.
That's Drew Brees, of course, after a 32-29 loss to Kansas City, the team that we play this week. He goes up against a Minnesota team with Kirk Cousins that's fighting for its playoff lives.
I think the mentality stays the same, trying to go 1-0 each week, trying to put your best foot forward, play your best football, continue to put good things on tape. And, you know, I think that really is the mindset week one through 17, you know, for all 16 games. And this week will be no different, especially playing on Christmas Day on a national stage. You know, we got a lot to get excited about.
They're trying to go 1-0 this week. Same with us. That's what we're trying to do as well. Fancy that. Vikings and Saints. There's also three games tomorrow as well. Two on regular TV, and one of them is on Amazon Prime. Of course, the rest of the slate of games happening on Sunday as well as Monday. And, of course, you'll hear all the action with the Falcons and Chiefs here on Sports Radio 99 The Game Sunday at 1 o'clock. Hawks tomorrow at Memphis. You'll hear that at 5 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks 1-0 after a 20-point victory over Chicago. It was not that close. Lloyd Pierce talking about having some new toys to play with on this Christmas.
It's about respect. You know, we haven't earned anything. We have to come out and really try and manage a game plan. We have to come out, play hard, play smart, play together. But the approach isn't any different. I've never walked into a game saying, I know we're going to lose this one. And I never walked into a game saying, I know for sure we're going to win this one.
a scintillating 36 points from Trae Young on just 12 shots, one of the most efficient games in NBA history, part of a six-player and double-figure scoring output that included 83 first-half points, an Atlanta franchise record. Again, Hawks and Memphis, they played in the preseason twice. They'll get their first regular season matchup against each other coming up tomorrow. Of course, the NBA on Christmas Day, Pelicans, Heat, Warriors, Bucks, Nets also in action. And, of course, Dallas and the Lakers, Clippers and Nuggets, plenty to get to. That Nets game, by the way, against Boston, I should say. Both those teams coming in at 1-0. And the big Luka versus LeBron action tonight. I think people are very much looking forward to that at 8 o'clock. And we had a lot of discussion about Luka this week as far as it relating to Trey. I'm not going to give you anything that's more about whether or not that trade was the right one. All I'm saying is it's not like Trey's a bust, and it's not like you didn't get Cam Reddish also in the draft that was subsequent after the one you got Trey. I feel like people do not remember that part of the deal, and you have to value that part of it as well. And I feel like it gives Atlanta the edge on that deal as well. And again, of course, everybody comes to come back at me and say, Luka's a better player. It's not about that. It's about the fact that this fits this franchise a lot better, and they needed more than just one player to change the franchise. 404-741-0929. Speaking of that franchise, the Atlanta Hawks, Kelly Kroll, who reports on that team for Fox Sports Southeast, will join me on this Christmas Day to look back on Game 1, look ahead to Game 2 tomorrow on Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Christmas edition of Willie P in the Building, also on radio.com. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Miami putting the finishing touches on New Orleans, a 107-90 lead by the Heat with about 2:14 to play in the fourth quarter there in Miami. Next game on the NBA Christmas Day slate comes your way at about comes your way here in a couple minutes. Warriors and Bucks here at 3 o'clock, I should say. Getting you ready for that one here. Steph Curry and the Warriors against Giannis and the Bucks. Heard the promo for the Hawks season beginning. It couldn't have begun in any better way. And really, the only person who didn't tell Willie P to basically go to hell when I asked if they wanted to come on Christmas was none other than my good friend Kelly Kroll, who joins us on the waitfor.com hotline. Merry Christmas, Kelly. Thank you so much for taking some time. I know your family's in town, but I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to talk about an amazing game the other night.
Absolutely. I would never, first of all, say that to you. You know that. We go way too far back. And, you know, any of us who have been in this industry, we know what it's like to work on the holidays and how difficult it is to get guests to come on. So I am happy to do it. And first of all, happy holidays to you, all those back at the studio working, and everyone at home today with their loved ones. I hope you all are having a wonderful holiday. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about what was a stellar opener for the Hawks. You're right. It doesn't get any better than 42 points in the first quarter, shooting nearly 67%. And Trae Young, what a show he put on. 37 points, 7 assists, 6 boards in 26 minutes, mind you. I love that it only took him 12 shots to get there. I mean, you talk about efficiency. And something I think you really like seeing from him after, you know, he was working on things. He mentioned that in the preseason. But you weren't really sure what he was going to look like on the floor with all of those guys, but he put it all together, making the right decisions, when to shoot, when to pass, when to move without the ball, which is going to be such a key for him this season, I think, in taking that next step. And we heard Lloyd Pierce say after the game, you know, it might have been the most fun he's seen Trey have on the floor since being in a Hawks uniform. And I don't know how you can't have fun, Willie P, when you're playing like that.
You certainly can. And I'm wondering, too, also, Kel, because I understand what this team was over the course of the last couple of years. It was a rebuild, but the infusion of talent, I even think that, you know, Lloyd was a little sheepish when talking about it. He said he doesn't approach the game any differently. The one thing that I noticed is that when it comes to spacing, there was a lot more open on the floor, not only for Trey to drive with, but you have so much more to account for with the Hawks on offense. It's not just Trey and John. You've got shooters all over the floor, and once you get Capella back in the lineup tomorrow, you have a post presence that'll be certainly something to be recognized. This is more options than Trey has had, I think, at any point of his career, either pre-collegiate or college or even here. This, to me, he's got plenty of weapons, and I think it causes him to play freer, don't you believe?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And I'm with you and LP saying, I know his practices have gotten more intense, and of course they've added wrinkles. I mean, he might not go into depth with us about it, but you know they have, because now they have weapons and now they have the supporting cast around Trey to do that kind of stuff. And you're right. When you add names like Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, we saw the other night, I mean, those are guys that when they're open, defenders, I mean, they have to defend them. You know what I'm saying? They have to get out there because those guys can knock down shots. So yeah, Trey's going to be able to see John now. He's going to be able to do his own thing. Spacing of the floor was going to happen just with these additions. And I'm with you. I mean, one of the things Travis Schlenk told me, what was it, maybe 2 days ago before the opener, I'm losing track of my days already. That's not a good sign this early in the season, is it? But no, he said that likely, and I think he was being a little cautious with how he was saying it, but to expect both Rajon Rondo and Clint Capella in the lineup tomorrow night on Saturday. So I'm stoked about that, to see those two guys added to what we saw the other night, and to go up against the Memphis team that now they saw twice in preseason, kind of had their number a year ago. But if they can put together what they did the other night, and I know that's a lot to ask for, 37 points from Trey, it's certainly not going to happen every night. But if he can keep the offense moving like that and these guys show the effort, and I mean, they were really good on the defensive end too. I loved seeing DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. We're watching those guys get in the passing lanes, and just the energy on that side of the ball was really good against the Bulls. Now, granted, they looked really sloppy too, but not to take anything away from the Hawks, because I saw a stat, I think, somewhere where you know, I wasn't paying attention to every game last year, but the Hawks lost to the Bulls 3 times last year and by nearly 30 points. So to do what they did to them the other night, the guys have to feel good about going into this game now against Memphis. And it's step by step, and you're getting guys back slowly and surely. The team's getting fully healthy and they're integrating everything that LP wants to do. I just am really excited to see where this team is able to develop and continue to take those next steps this year.
Fox Sports Southeast reporter Kelly Kroll joining us here, talking some Atlanta Hawks as they're back in action tomorrow, 5 p.m. You'll hear the pregame at 4:30 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, you'll see Kelly on the tube as well for that game coming up in Memphis. You mentioned the 3 losses last year to the Bulls. Part of that reasoning comes from Chris Dunn. He was in Trey Young's kitchen basically the entire time. And, of course, now he's on the Hawks roster, obviously still not able to play yet because of an injury that took place before the season. My question to you, though, Kelly, is can one player as a lockdown defender have an effect on the whole rest of the team? Because while I saw some good situational defense from the Hawks, 104 points on the opposition is still not something where I feel like it's a goal for them. They want to be lower than that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And can one defender, well, when they're one of the best on-ball defenders like Chris Dunn is, yeah, and Trey, you know, mind you, second year in the league, still figuring some things out. I mean, this year, I would say, would that still be bothersome at times? Maybe, but would it have the effect that it did a year ago? No, because now you got multiple ball handlers. We've seen, how many guys have we seen bring the ball up the floor and LP be cool with watching? I mean, we've even watched, you know, Kevin Huerter at times bring the ball up. Danilo will bring the ball up, but you know you can trust the ball in Bogdanovich's hand. I know you could put both Rajon and Trey on the floor at the same time if you wanted. When Chris is healthy, I think that's another thing. You could see this team go small really well, and they've got so many ball handlers and so many guys that, again, I think have really started to take the next step in their game at moving without the ball and getting open and finding ways to really keep the offense moving. I don't think you'd see the same sort of effect that maybe it had a year ago, but that's for great defenders. That's why teams want them. And that's how guys keep themselves in the league like Chris Dunn. I mean, he's younger, obviously, but he's not a guy who necessarily creates his own offensively. I mean, that's never been part. But, boy, teams want him because, yeah, he can shut down the ball before the offense even gets rolling. And that's, again, I think that can be so critical. And that's what Trey needs to, I think, sort of try to incorporate in his game as well. And he has. He's taken a lot more ownership in his defense this year. And, you know, I'm hoping to see that kind of translate on the floor, as I'm sure Hawks fans are.
And something Dukes and I talked about yesterday, Kelly, the ability of Trey to play off the ball. I feel like you're going to get opportunities to, I don't want to say rest him while he's on the floor, but he won't have to be the primary facilitator. He can do some more things without the ball. This is something we haven't even seen him be able to do here because of how much he's had to carry the offensive load. You mentioned playing Rondo and Trey on the floor at the same time, or Dunn and Trey on the floor at the same time. This allows the Hawks to do a lot more with Trey off the ball that they haven't been able to do so far.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, that's something that we listened to Coach Pierce say the other day. He was asked, you know, how close do you feel like you are at this point in terms of kind of figuring out some of the combinations that are going to work for you on the floor? And he goes, not close at all, because part of the problem is we don't have all our guys healthy. So they haven't even been able to see, like you just mentioned, Chris Dunn on the floor yet, or necessarily Rondo and Trey on the floor together, and what that might look like. And we know Bogey can run point if he needs to as well. You kind of hate to take a shooter like that and have him handling the ball, but that's just one more wrinkle they can add. And you're like, you're saying, yeah, what does that allow Trey to do? And it allows him to do something that not only have they not seen, but no other team has seen before either. If all of a sudden Trey's playing two and, you know, and screening and possibly cutting and rolling and Bogey's running point or something like that, or Rondo's pushing the ball and he's running with the bigs running. I just think there are so many now options for this team on the perimeter, and it's just fun to think of what all it could look like just even maybe a month down the road, right? As we get into January, what this team could look like in a couple weeks as they continue to figure each other out. So yeah, I'm with you. I think the possibilities with Trey and Rondo and all the ball handlers that they have, LP can get really creative. I think that's going to be a test for him this year too, right? I think eyes are on him as well to sort of see what he can do with this team now that there is a team that is expected to win on the floor.
Kelly Kroll, of course, I know your family's in town, so I won't keep you any longer. I just want to ask you, what'd you get for Christmas?
Oh, you will love this. So the one thing, you know, as we get to be adults, right? Like, it's, hey, I need this, and I can't wait till somebody else buys me something that I really need. And I needed a suitcase because I'm crossing my fingers, guys, that we will hopefully be traveling again when maybe second half of the NBA season and or baseball season rolls around. So I was on my last leg of a suitcase that Will, I've probably had since we went to Mizzou. That's how long I've had that suitcase. So it was time. It was time to invest in another nice big suitcase. And so Santa, aka Mom and Dad, brought me a nice big suitcase. And I'm thrilled. I love it. And that's you know, the boring thing, the boring necessities that we need that you can't be more excited about getting. And that was the big gift this year. What about you? And no. If you're allowed to say, you know, maybe some of the special surprises you have for folks? Can you share?
Yeah, I can, because I ended up telling her about the stuff that has not gotten in yet because of the Postal Service, by the way. USPS, still on my you-know-what list, but I did get her a very, very nice necklace. I showed you that necklace that I got her, and it got Kelly Kroll approval, so that part was good. She gave me, she continues to try and convert me into a Hoosier, she got me the candy-striped Indiana Hoosier breakaway pants, so you know that from being up there in Indiana. So that was cool. And she gave me a bunch of...
You can pull those off, Will. I know it.
That suitcase of yours, that old broken down one, that didn't make it to Shreveport in 2005, did it? Because that was always a bad trip, going to Shreveport,
right,
in the end of December.
But it is a strong possibility it was on that one. Yeah, it was beyond its last leg. In fact, I'm pretty sure they had the tape. You know, I don't know if anyone's had this problem when they go to the airport, but they put like the orange, it was already torn tape, or it was already broken tape. Yeah, I was at that level. There was really no excuse for it. So I am so excited to have this new suitcase. And then, of course, a few other little goodies. I think it's really cool. As I'm sure most of your listeners know, and I know you do, I'm new to the Atlanta area. And my mom's thing every year is to get a really thoughtful, unique ornament as one of our gifts. And I have this really beautiful Atlanta city-based, all the kind of landmarks in this city ornament.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. It's so nice.
I got an Atlanta themed ornament from Julianne as well. I got an Atlanta themed ornament as well too from our first Atlanta Christmas together. So that was pretty cool. And of course, The best gift is going in the oven at about 4 o'clock, which is, of course, my homemade lasagna. So that gift will certainly be a big part of it. I'll let you get back to your fam. Thank you so much for taking some time. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And we'll watch this Hawks team continue to be exciting, hopefully.
Yes, agreed. Again, happy holidays to everyone. Thanks for having me on, and you enjoy your evening, okay?
We'll do. We'll talk soon. Kelly Kroll joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline as she joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great stuff from her, and great stuff on the Hawks, too. Look, I don't want to overplay one game, but I didn't know what 124 points is going to look like from this crew, honestly. I thought, hey, maybe we can average 120, 130 a night. I wasn't prepared for what it looked like, okay? So it was very, very jarring in a very good way. But who knows? It could come back tomorrow night and we only score 80 points and lose. But who knows? I'm not trying to, you know, it's 1 out of 72 now. We'll come back. We'll talk some Falcons as well. Our 5 o'clock Falcons report is actually a 3 o'clock Falcons report that usually comes on Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about the GM and coaches search and also break down this game and who may or may not be playing for Atlanta against the defending champs. Happy, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Willie P here with you in the building on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.